Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Dave Jones, Patriot News tomorrow. Dave Ennett, play-by-play voice of Northwestern football, coming up tomorrow. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Penguins getting it done on the ice.
It's picked up now by Wilson. Has a man up the right wing. Grant into the near circle. Derek Grant, a wrist shot. Save made by Hellebuck, and it trickles in. He scores! Derek Grant, and that's two for the fourth line tonight. The first is a Pittsburgh Penguin for Grant, and we have a tie game at three.
Josh Getzoff, who's been a guest on this show many times, with the play-by-play call last night on the Penguins radio network. Great to have you with us on this particular day, on this Wednesday, where it's cloudy and snow showery and cold out today. Lots of wind out there today. We were talking earlier about being 28 degrees with a real feel of 8. It is late November. I got it. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Goes for many of us.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I have to like it, but it is, you know, it is still late November. But yeah, that's where we are. Let's get everybody. Paul Johnson's going to leave Georgia Tech. He's decided to retire. He had a great run, by the way, at Navy before he then took the job at Georgia Tech. The Georgia Tech job is one that, look, he did a good job there with Georgia Tech. There's no getting around it. But after a while, they just couldn't quite keep up with everybody else. Mack Brown is now the head coach at North Carolina. Officially announced yesterday that Mack Brown would take over at North Carolina. He's been out of the game for, what, 5 years? Something like that. I think 5 years been out of the game.
Yep, all at ESPN.
Yeah. Look, you're a coach. It's what you do. It's what you want to do. I mean, I know if I were in a position where I'm not, if I weren't announcing games, I'd be figuring out ways to get back to announcing games. Because that is, for me, you know, work-wise, what makes me tick. Well, for guys that are coaching, you know, like, hey, TV, you don't lose anything. Coaching is what makes them tick. Right? And that's what it comes down to. I mean, they have it in their blood that this is what they do. Let's see. Scott Loeffler, hired by Bowling Green to be the head coach. He had been the offensive coordinator at Boston College. Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue, has met with Louisville. He met with athletic director Vince Tyra yesterday about the coaching vacancy. He has been considered the entire time the front runner for that job. He's expected to give a decision by tonight. Brohm played quarterback at Louisville. He grew up in the city. Tyra and Brohm went to the same high school, not at the same time. Brohm's father, Oscar, his younger brother, Brian, who's now Purdue's offensive coordinator, both played quarterback for Louisville. Brohm did say after the Purdue win over Indiana that made Purdue bowl eligible that, quote, this is where I want to be and I like it here. Well, he did go down and he talked to Louisville. Now, did he do it as a courtesy? I don't know. Or is he serious about it? He got a 2-year contract extension back in April through 2024. He got a salary raise to $3.8 million a year. If he leaves Purdue for another job before December 5th, he would owe the school $4.4 million. After December 5th, his buyout drops to $3.3 million. If he elects to remain at Purdue, Louisville is expected to turn its attention to Troy coach Neil Brown, Appalachian State coach Scott Satterfield, and we saw his work on display in the opening game of the season. Utah State coach Matt Wells, really good. They went 10-2 this year. And Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell. So we'll see what Brohm decides to do here. Maybe Brohm tells him, hey, you know, you could wait till December 6th. I'll take the job. It'll save me $1.1 million on the buyout.
One thing I'll say about Mac Brown going back to North Carolina, Steve, I know he was first there in like the late 80s. Normally, when I see a coach go back a second time, I don't think good things will happen, but I think it sounds like it might be different this time for North Carolina.
Well, I think for him, the keys will be simple. Hire a great staff. Hire a great coordinator. Hire a great defensive coordinator. Great recruiting staff. Where Mac Brown can be the CEO. Everybody, I've never met Mac Brown. I've never been in the same room with him. So I don't know him at all. Never had a conversation with him, ever. But he has a reputation that everybody genuinely likes him. They had a Mac Brown dinner back in, I want to say 9 or 10. And it was a winter where Joe wasn't feeling all that well. And he just wasn't, he wasn't feeling that great. And Joe still went down there because it was Mac Brown. Still went down to the dinner because it was Mac Brown. It tells you a lot about him. It tells you a lot about how people feel about him. And I found that to be, interesting. I remember it's like, I said, you're going down there? He goes, yeah. He says, it's for Mac Brown. That's why he went. Kind of a wow thing that, that he would do that because he was not feeling his best at that time. All right. First game up will be Utah-Washington, and that's going to be on Friday night. It's the first game up. Then noon on Saturday is Texas-Oklahoma. 3:30 is Memphis-UCF. 4 o'clock is Alabama-Georgia. 7:45 is Fresno State-Boise State. Clemson and Pitt will be at 8. And Northwestern and Ohio State will be at 8. So there's your lineup of championship games. I think there's also a MAC game, too, isn't there? It's Buffalo and Northern Illinois playing in Detroit. So that's the lineup of games coming up. It's essential. I mean, can Oklahoma beat the one team that beat them this year? All right, that's one. Okay. Two, if they do, what kind of margin? I always hate to think that margin comes into play, but it's going to have to come into play. And then, can Ohio State bludgeon Northwestern? They're a huge favorite to do so. But I will say this, Northwestern has absolute guts. Pat Fitzgerald is a fabulous coach. He knows his personnel. They have a terrific quarterback. They do not have a great running game, although I'll give them credit. After Larkin went down for medical reasons, they found at least a semblance of a running game. They have a really good defense. They've got really good linebackers. Gallagher and Fisher are terrific linebackers. And they've been able to win the close games. they've been able to win the close games. Even Rutgers, they beat them 18-15, still won the game on the road. The oddity is they lost their three non-conference games all at home. Akron, Duke, and Notre Dame. They gave Notre Dame all they could handle for a period of time. Finally, Notre Dame just had too much and just started to gradually pull away in that game. But Northwestern's played. Remember, they led Michigan 17-0 at one point. They lost that game 20-17. But I just don't see how they can hang in this game with Ohio State. Ohio State, again, does not have a great defense. They just don't. They have some great individual players, but not a great defense. I mean, even though they routed Michigan, they still, what did they give up, Matt? 39 points?
Yes, they did. It was 62-39.
Yeah, they still gave up 39 points in the game. I mean, but individually, I mean, Chase Young's a great individual player. Draymond Jones, a great individual player. I like Malik Harrison. I think Sheffield's really good. I think Fuller's really good. It's not like they don't have some great individuals over there, but they don't have a great defense, which now brings you back to Northwestern. If they can get Clayton Thorson some semblance of time, he'll be able to make some plays, but I think that's going to be the key. Can they get him some time? But they can't. If Thorson can't get any time, then Northwestern has no shot in this game.
And I do think Ohio State gets in if they win and they get losses from Georgia and Oklahoma. And some people are saying that Ohio State has to blow out Northwestern. I don't necessarily buy that. I think if they just win. No. As long as it's not really ugly, but as long as they win this game and they get their two losses they need, I think they're in.
All right. If Alabama and Texas win, Ohio State just needs to win. That's
right.
It.
Right.
If Alabama and Texas win, all Ohio State has to do is just win. That's why I go back to they'll know what they need to do when they take the field because they're the last game of the day on Saturday. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on this very cold Wednesday. I'll tell you what's hot, though, is the Needy Family Fund. Getting closer to $10,000. The overall goal is $100,000, but it is a huge, huge help for people in need in our area, and people are pouring in with their donations right now.
Yep, that's correct. We had $835 in donations today, so we're currently just a little over $9,600 right now. So we're looking pretty good start for the Needy Family Fund. They raised their goal this year for the first time in quite some time from $75,000 to $100,000 this year. So hopefully they can get to that goal.
Hopefully, because people need us to get to the goal. And the goal is $100,000. Santa's back on tonight, third night of the month-long run for the jolly old elf. The Magic Radio is there ready and waiting, and that'll be from 6 to 7 tonight. Don't forget about Bucknell basketball tonight. They have got Northeastern. It's on Eagle 107 this evening. Wrestling in Soica, Penn State and Bucknell on Friday. And then it'll be Bucknell basketball with Monmouth coming up this weekend. Nittany Lion basketball team, big win for them last night. They beat Virginia Tech in the Jordan Center, 63-62. They're at Maryland on Saturday. Maryland, by the way, will play Virginia tonight. So it is going to be a game where let's see how Maryland deals with Virginia's pack line defense. Virginia is a good offensive team, but they are a great defensive team. I just watched Penn State a week ago play Bradley in its pack line defense. Virginia plays it at a slightly more expert level. Let's give Maryland credit. They've got, you know, a couple freshmen have stepped in, like Jalen Smith, who stepped in and played really well. Daryl Morcell's now a sophomore. He's been playing well. Bruno Fernando, whom I really...
There's got to be a law against all those bells. Wait a minute, what's it for?
Santa hat days at Cole Stony Hill Tree Farm.
You know, there's certain people, Matt, that no matter what, still try to break into the show just to let us know that they're still there. And I'd like to point out that I think the acting lessons are going better than we thought.
Yeah, he's working on something in there. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Oh, I'm sure it has nothing to do with the station. All right, so... Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But I was talking about Maryland. Morcell's a sophomore. Anthony Cowan's a fabulous player. He's not a pro, all right? He's not. Now, Fernando, I think, is a pro. Bruno Fernando. I thought he was going to go pro last spring. He was projected as a late first, early second-round pick. He went to Chicago. He went through the combine. And remember, Kevin Herter did as well. Herter ended up going to the draft, and it paid off for him. Fernando decided to go back to Maryland, and I was really surprised that Fernando made that choice. But he's having a really, really good season. But Penn State now at least has its bearings back in the middle. When you look at Mike Watkins, you know, he only had the 2 points last night. You know, and was there some rust? There was an occasional pass out of the post that wasn't very good. But you know what? He had 7 rebounds last night. He blocked 3 shots. He had 2 steals, and he did all of this in 21 minutes. It's exactly what they needed. Not only that, he stayed out of foul trouble. Now, my one concern, I've talked to Mike, boy, I'll tell you, I probably have talked to Mike 3 or 4 times in the last 10 days. And he could not wait to get back. I mean, he was just about jumping out of his body to get back and play. So my only concern going into the game last night was when you had that level of enthusiasm to get back out there, and he had not played since February 21st. So you're talking 9 months since he played a game. My only concern was that he was going to go out there like a wild man, pick up 2 fouls, okay, and fine, and after 30 seconds we're on the bench. He never came close to doing that last night. He played under great control last night. I thought he played very smart last night. He had the 7 rebounds, the 3 block shots, the 2 steals, and that's exactly what Penn State needed from him last night. They needed a guy to be a rim protector in there, and he was that. I also think something else that surprised Virginia Tech last night. Excuse me. After the first media timeout, you could just tell Virginia Tech made a realization. They're just as athletic as we are. I think they felt going in they were the more athletic team. And suddenly that realization hits, like, wow, they're as athletic as we are. That made a difference as well. Now, there's certain areas Penn State needs to clean up. Yeah, Josh Reeves is turning the ball over too much. I know he's handling the ball more this year. That part I get. But he's a better player than that. And Rasir Bolton has to understand, and Josh does at times, but Rasir Bolton has to understand that you are really, really effective when you and the ball are going the same speed. Okay? You can't outrun the ball. If you outrun the ball, you lose the ball. And those are just a couple things. I mean, obviously, you know, you also have to hit some free throws at the end. I understand that part. But their defense was outstanding last night. All night, Penn State's defense was outstanding. Yes, there was a couple of runs where Virginia Tech hit 3-point shots. Remember, it's a really good team. I'm not surprised they hit 3-point shots. It's a big part of their game. They hit 10. But at the end, do you realize Penn State hit 9 of them? They were only 1 down on 3-pointers last night. Big factor. Penn State held Virginia Tech without a point in the final 3-10 last night. That was a big factor. And it seemed like Penn State got on the floor and got every loose ball last night. Gigantic factor in the game. And it wasn't that Virginia Tech wasn't playing hard. I thought Virginia Tech played very hard last night. But in a lot of ways, I thought Penn State played just a little bit harder. Patrick Chambers has always wanted to fall back on a couple of key things. One, being a really good defensive team. They checked that box last night. And number two, outworking the opponent, being the team that dives on the floor after a loose ball. That happened over and over again last night. How often have you heard me say to James Franklin, how much does it help your meeting on Sunday when you tell them before the game they need to check all these boxes on turnovers, explosive plays, things like that, and then it happens and you win the game? How much does that help you to emphasize? He says, absolutely. Same thing with Patrick Chambers. He now can go into his team meeting. They're not going to practice today, but look at them tomorrow when they look at film and say, hey, I told you, play defense and go to the floor and get a loose ball, you'll win.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Another entertaining day on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. As Ben Roethlisberger criticized play calling in his teammates. He made waves today with some biting words for rookie wide receiver James Washington, saying, yes, he's a rookie, but you can't be out there if you're not going to make those plays for us, among other things. While Roethlisberger's other words were ultimately constructive, they may have been better told in private to the young receiver. He didn't stop there. Antonio Brown's route on the game-losing interception. State corner Chris Harris, who, by the way, is a very good corner, did undercut AB, so who knows what would have happened. That's why I talked to Brown and said, AB, you have to come flat. You can't drift in the end zone because those undercuts can happen. So would he have had a chance to intercept it? Yes. I definitely think he would have had a chance. I can't control that guy. I can only control the safety. No offense, but you're the one that threw it to the lineman. Roethlisberger even criticized the play call, saying, I think we should have gone to Juju Smith-Schuster four straight plays at the end of the game. Well, you're standing out there. You can make that choice yourself. What, you have to throw it to one guy because they told you to? Read the coverage. Throw it to him. Whose fault's that? When he was met with backlash for his comments, Roethlisberger held fast. I think I have earned the right to be able to do that with as long as I've been here. I'll just be as critical on myself as well as in front of my teammates. He added, you have to know how to motivate different guys in different ways. I think that's part of being a leader, being a captain, just understanding players. So sometimes you just grab them off to the side, and sometimes you have to be honest with them. The problem is, though, he's not doing that. He's criticizing them on radio shows. He's not pulling them aside and criticizing them to their face. He's criticizing them to the free world.
Was this all in his normal Tuesday interview he does
yes.
on the midday show with
yeah.
on the fan there?
Yeah, with Cookie.
Right.
He's on with Cookie every week,
right.
Ron Cook.
Right.
And believe me, I can guarantee you know in certain terms, Ron was very fair with the interview. Now, they have the Chargers coming up on Sunday Night Football. But I don't get it. I mean, you have to come flat in that play. You're the one that threw it to the defensive lineman. All right? So what were you reading there, sport? Hey, you want to be critical of everybody else? You threw it to the lineman. What, because he ran a bad route? Well, who said you had to go there? Who the heck said that you absolutely had to throw it there? What are you, you know, you're a veteran quarterback. if you, quote, earn the right to criticize your teammates, okay, well, guess what? You've also earned the right to come off the primary guy and go to the secondary guy, right?
And hasn't he thrown like 7-8 interceptions now? Yeah, it is that much in the last two games.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look, and it doesn't mean that a guy hasn't run the wrong route and he ends up looking bad for it. I got that. Believe me, I've talked many times about, okay, the quarterback gets labeled with the interception, and sometimes it's because the guy ran the wrong route, the wrong depth, the wrong spot, whatever, you're throwing to a spot, and the receiver's supposed to be there and is not there. That does happen. But when you're scorch-earthing other people, again, he's talking about Harris's coverage on Brown. You threw it to the lineman. The lineman was not covering Brown. Harris was. You threw it to the lineman. Whose fault was that?
Yeah, check that. Five interceptions he's thrown in the last two games. Three against the Jaguars, which could have been five if the other two weren't dropped, and then he had two
right
against Denver Sunday.
But, I mean, that's my issue. If you were to sit there and you're going to criticize your teammates, you threw the ball to the defensive lineman. Harris was in coverage. Should AB have run it flat? Yes. But even if you ran it flat, the ball still picked off. That was a bad play by your quarterback. A bad play by the quarterback. Do not excuse and throw it on somebody else, okay? Because Harris didn't pick the ball off. Doesn't really matter if Harris is in coverage and he runs it flat on him. Okay, it's fine. Okay, but guess what? Okay, Harris isn't the guy that picked the ball off. The defensive tackle did.
That was just a bad play call in general. I never been a fan of like those jump passes, those quick jump passes in the goal line. I just think they make zero sense.
Well, especially for them, they don't run that play. When's the last time you saw the Steelers run that play? That RPO around the goal line play.
I think they tried to, wasn't the play they tried to do that when they lost to the Patriots last year at home? I think that was very similar.
Yeah, they might have. I don't know. I didn't see that. Remember, I didn't see that game. I listened to it on the radio, and because I was doing the Penn State George Mason basketball game, I was driving back. So I listened to it on the radio, so I didn't get a chance.
I'd have to go back and double-check that. I thought it was something similar, because I actually was listening on the way home from that, too. So,
yeah.
But all of a sudden, I mean, this is a big loss for the Steelers now, because you look at their schedule the rest of the way. You mentioned they have the Chargers Sunday night. Then they have New England still. They have New Orleans still. And it's a tough end to the year.
Yeah, well, they were in a spot where they had a first-round bye. Now they're in a spot where they're trying to make sure they can win the division and survive. That's where they are. Now, the Eagles may get the gift that keeps on giving. The New Orleans Saints, they've got Dallas tomorrow night. Well, if the Saints do what we think they can do and beat Dallas, suddenly, the Eagles are right back in the thick of what's going on. The Eagles have Washington on Sunday.
That's Monday Night Football.
Or Monday night. Monday night. They've got the Monday night. And if they can win the game, now it sets up a big game with Dallas next week.
Right, that'd be a three-way tie for the NFC East if that all turns out that way.
And for the Redskins, obviously, Colt McCoy. He had one of those typical backup quarterback days. He threw three touchdown passes. Check mark. Really good. He threw two interceptions. Okay. Put the X through the box. And that becomes a big problem for Washington as to what he can do. I mean, like I said, it's not as if Colt McCoy is a bad player. He's not. You see, they signed Foster, the linebacker.
Yeah, that's atrocious. I mean, the Redskins would be the team to sign Reuben Foster. And their statement today was just, you just shake your head. It's embarrassing, to be honest with you.
I was shocked they did it. I was shocked.
And actually, I will say, though, the Eagles reportedly were the only other team that did some due diligence, and apparently they called Tampa police to look into the last incident involving Reuben Foster, but then, of course, they wisely chose not worth it, and, of course, the Redskins pick him up on waivers.
I mean, you're always looking for talent. I've got it. But you've got to be able to... You also have to be able to make a statement about who you are as a culture, as an organization. Senior Vice President for Player Personnel Doug Williams said the Redskins fully understand the severity of the recent allegations made against Reuben. If true, you can be sure these allegations are nothing our organization would ever condone. Let me be clear, Reuben will have to go through numerous steps, including the full legal process and investigation and potential discipline from the NFL, as well as meetings with counselors associated with the team before he'll ever have the opportunity to wear the burgundy and gold as a player.
See, that tells me nothing. Other than you just contradicted what you just said. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
He's been put on the commissioner exempt list. And the league's personal conduct policies under review with him. He cannot attend games or practices. He can be present at the team's facility for activities such as workouts or meetings with the team's permission. He was arrested Saturday night at the team's Tampa hotel, one day before the 49ers game with the Buccaneers, on charges of domestic violence. 49ers then released him Sunday morning. We don't know yet if he's going to be suspended by the NFL. Williams also said the team decided to claim Foster after having candid conversations with some of his ex-Alabama teammates and current Redskins players who were overwhelmingly supportive of taking the chance. Washington's front office was reportedly far from unanimous, though, over the idea to claim Foster. Bruce Allen, who's the president of the team, decided to be the one that said, yes, let's do it. It's not the first time Foster's been arrested. Second-year linebacker was arrested twice in a month span during the offseason. He was charged with marijuana possession in January and charges related to domestic violence in February. Those charges, the ones in February for domestic violence, were later dropped when Foster's accuser recanted her story. He was suspended for the first two games of 2018 due to the arrests. Adam Schefter on ESPN tweeted that the Browns claimed Foster but called that information premature and said the NFL declined to name the team. Shortly after Schefter's report, Cleveland.com's Mary Kay Cabot, who, by the way, is an excellent reporter, tweeted sources told her the Browns were not the team that claimed Foster. 29 tackles, 6 games for Foster, appeared in 10 games last year. He ranked second on the 49ers in tackles and third in tackles for loss. Nobody disputes he can play the game. Everyone does dispute what his character is right now.
Yeah, he wasn't worth a first-round draft pick from me 2 years ago.
It is... I know you're always looking for talent, but this isn't the way to go. This is not the way to go. I mean, they took a chance, obviously, and it worked out great on Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's been terrific for them.
Yeah, he scares me for the Eagles Monday night, as well as Chris Thompson, who's been injury-prone, but looks like he's fully healthy and ready to go.
Chris Thompson's a good player. You know what? In a role, you put Chris Thompson in a role, I think he handles the role really well. I think that's the most important part, that if you understand what your role is, then it does make a big difference that you can excel. That's where the Patriots are really good. The Patriots seem to be able to get guys that when they come in, they understand that there is a role for them to play and that they're expected to be great at that role. If they're not, they'll find somebody else that will do it. The Patriots also don't hang on the draft choices forever. If you're a guy that's a second-round pick, instead of waiting out your contract to see if you're good enough to get that second contract, if you're not playing to their standard, they will get rid of you and they'll go and find somebody else. They do not sit there in New England and look around and say, yeah, you know, I know we've invested a lot. We drafted him first in the first round. No. If you're not playing the way they want you to play, you're gone. All right, one final break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show. We have great listeners all over the area that update us on so many different items that help and benefit so many people, including traffic updates, Matt.
Yes, we just got a call from someone who was on 11 and 15 North, coming down the strip through Humble's Wharf and Sheboygan Dam. There is a tractor trailer on its side right at the bypass there with 522, so that's causing a lot of big backups. So 11 and 15 North coming through Humble's Wharf and Sheboygan Dam, backups from a tractor trailer on its side, so do be aware of that in your travels this afternoon. We'll keep an eye on that, and we have Chad Hershberger coming up for the late-day news roundup, so he will keep an eye on that on our traffic maps, too.
All right, so find an alternate route. Right, that's the bottom line. Find an alternate route along the way. So we keep you up to date. And everything in Chad will have more at the top of the hour on that and more. So, all right. Got a lot of big college football weekend coming up, big college basketball weekend coming up. Turns out it's going to be a big pro football weekend as well. The Steelers play Sunday night. The Eagles play Monday night. And that's what the it's going to be nice to kind of kick back and watch all this. And then the college football playoff will have everything decided. And the bowls will be announced on Sunday. So we'll know Penn State's bowl destination on Sunday. To be honest with you, I think it is... between the Citrus Bowl and the Peach Bowl for Penn State.
Well, according to the latest projections from ESPN.com, they have Penn State slated to play LSU in the Peach Bowl, which I think is probably the most possible.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I want to see how it plays out. Part of this is going to be whether Ohio State makes the college football playoff. If Ohio State makes the college football playoff, then I can envision Michigan going to the Rose Bowl, and it bumps Penn State up in the Peach Bowl. If Ohio State doesn't go to the college football playoff, they get the Rose Bowl. Michigan, in all likelihood, would get, I would think, like a Fiesta Bowl or something like that.
Yeah, right now that's where ESPN has them, against UCF, actually.
Yeah. Well, UCF can't go back to the Peach Bowl. Because the Peach Bowl has had the group of five team in each of the last, in two of the last 3 years. They've already had it twice. That's why they don't want to send the group of five team to Atlanta. Because they've already had them twice. They had Houston playing there against... Florida State, and last year they had UCF play Auburn there. So because of that, they want to move that group of five team to the Fiesta Bowl. So right now the group of five has gone twice to the Peach Bowl, once to the Cotton Bowl, because Western Michigan played Wisconsin in 2016 when Penn State played in the Rose Bowl. So that's what they're trying to avoid here. They're trying to avoid, like, oh, yeah, the Peach Bowl gets stuck with them again. And if you're the Peach Bowl, you're like, we don't want you back. No offense, we don't want you back. I know everybody gets, and I remember talking to Kevin about the Cinderella. Cinderella's adorable until you get heavy doses of Cinderella. It's what happens all the time in the NCAA basketball tournament. The opening weekend, Cinderella is gorgeous. Right? The second weekend, TV ratings-wise, the charm wears off. It is always the lowest rated game of the second weekend. Always. People are like, okay, where's Duke? Where's Kentucky? Same thing in football. Lowest rated New Year's Six game is always the Group of Five game. Always. It has not one time been the highest rated game of the New Year's Six. It's always the lowest of the six games. That's why the bowls are, okay, we'll take you, but we, you know, the Peach Bowl's like, hey, look, we had you twice. We're done. Move on. We want some cachet here. And that's nothing against UCF. It's just a reality of life. That's all it is. It's a reality. I mean, sometimes reality is cruel. Well, the reality is it's the lowest rated game whenever they're in it. Well, these bowls want people watching them. All right, we got basketball tonight. We got Northeastern at Soica, Eagle 107 tonight. Then don't forget Penn State wrestling with Bucknell and Soica on Friday night. Bucknell basketball with Monmouth this weekend. Nittany Lion basketball at Maryland Saturday. Maryland plays Virginia tonight. Tomorrow, Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football, will join us to preview the Big Ten championship game. Also tomorrow, Dave Jones, Patriot News, and PennLive.com will join us. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.